Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 177. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm here with my boy and co-host.
Mem the Vapor here. I'm the Beaner.
How's it going, man?
Going good, man. How about you?
I'm tired, but it's all good, man. How's it going?
Good, man. Just a long fucking day. Getting kind of sick, I think.
What happened to you now? You keep falling apart on me, dude, every week.
You know what? These fucking kids are just filled with diseases.
I always forget about that,
like,
dude.
Fuck, man. I think one of the eighth grade girls got me sick. We're playing cards, and she kept using the cards and have plastics.
Mm.
You know, you rub your face, they're on the...
Oh, she's got
they're on the fucking cards.
Ah, that sucks, dude. So, well, sorry. Don't get sick, man. Use hand sanitizer and fucking shit.
Yeah.
Fucking feed them with a steak and, like, keep them away, dude. I'm just kidding, man. What's up, man? How you doing? How was your weekend?
Weekend was boring. I fucking just hung out. Didn't see any movies. I did want to go see some movies. And kind of slept the whole day Sunday. And then all night, like, 9 o'clock, like, crash. And it was bad. Plus, Margot was mad.
Last night?
So,
what'd you do? I know it was you.
It was me. It was because, you know what? Her sister pissed me off. And I'm fucking, your family bugs me. And that was it for the rest of the night.
You bug me, asshole. Well, good on her.
Well, your family bugs me. I go, that's not true. That's not true.
Right on, man. All right. I did nothing exciting, dude. I had off yesterday. Hung out with an nephew and niece, which I haven't seen in a while. So it was dope.
That's good.
Dude, that's it.
So you didn't see the Lego movie?
No, I put up a picture. And
what was the little thing on your shoulder?
It was a little Lego Batman.
And like they gave it away himself. Or they gave those away?
Oh, I have a keychain that they gave away at the theater. But
nice.
It's on the app for my work. You can do like pictures like that, selfies and like different movies I would toss out. It's weird shit.
I was like, damn, he's going to go see it.
Totally didn't watch it. I've heard good things, great things about it.
We have to go watch it, dude.
Yeah. Well, actually, we can do that, dude. We'll hook up something, dude. All right, man. I didn't do anything exciting, but let's hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, man. Episode 77, we hit and named hashtag Imperial March. I don't recall why we named it Imperial March. We hit Twitter love shoutouts. We hit lots of Facebook and Instagram shoutouts. We hit new question of the day, which I don't even fucking remember that fucking topic.
I don't remember the topic.
Nope.
Either.
We have what the fuck news. New York student, I'm sorry, NYU student records himself singing as he lights sleeping classmate on fire.
Oh, wow.
All right. We hit 13-year-old.
In the name of Jesus.
13-year-old gets 25 years for killing brother and father.
Wow. 25 years?
Yeah. So they charged her as an adult for that, dude. I forgot
years,
about
25
that.
Years sounds kind of easy on the...
But she's 13? Technically she should get life, right?
She'll be out 40s?
Where is she at? It doesn't even say here.
40s?
Dude. Go back to episode 77, guys, if you guys want to...
And let us know.
Let us know what's going on there. We hit Man Dies After Playing Video Games for 3 days.
I did hear about that. I remember that one.
Yeah, I was almost you, right?
I play laying
playing
down,
well.
So I don't get any
right.
bad circulation.
We hit sex facts. We hit 10 crazy reasons people divorced. We hit comic news, movie talk, TV talk, Secret Wars talk. And we hit comic reviews, Guardians of the Galaxy number 23, Black Widow number 14, Raccoon number 7. And we hit Transformers Punishment, one-shot book of the week. That was
good.
So
you started
good.
That one, and then I redid it, didn't I?
Yes, it was just that good, dude. It was just a self-contained
guys, go out and
story.
Buy that, dude.
Yes, it's worth checking out. Go to thecomicsyndicate.com. Hit the Amazon banner, and you guys can purchase it. It's Transformers
it's really
Punishment,
good.
Dude. All right, man, for Instagram messages or Facebook messages, we have Lupa hitting us up on Facebook. Dude, she says, knock, knock. Is there anyone in here you guys haven't shared, posted on this Facebook page in a long time?
Jesus.
I'm not a Facebook guy in general.
I'm a Facebook guy, and you are correct, Lupe. I will start posting more stuff.
Touché.
I'm just tired,
I need to probably jump on.
We have playoffs this week.
Oh, true. How did you do?
We ranked 6, and we're playing a team we lost to. Ranked 11.
For the finals?
Well, to get past. So this is a single
elimination.
And, oh, God, I'm just tired of basketball.
How many? Well, you're just about done.
Yeah, so we beat them. We played Thursday, and then we play another team in the championship.
So quarterfinals is going on right now, and then you got semis, and then finals.
Our rival went undefeated.
Oh wow!
8-0.
Wow, your
so
rival.
We have our
have you came close to beating that rival team?
We lost by 8 points. It was our second game, and we never full court press. I know it's taking time.
Okay,
but we never full court press, and we did it that game, and our girls gassed out.
No shit.
They weren't used to.
So you guys pushing, were you guys pressing. Were the Falcons?
Yes, we gassed out.
Awesome. It's terrible, dude. And then we have Lisa on Facebook, dude, hitting up on tagging up on Lupe's post.
Okay.
Lisa says, "They're too busy working, LOL, and I can relate. I am just happy and thankful we still get a show every week. Thank you guys for giving us your time and taking the time you guys give to us. Much love sent to you guys from the East Coast."
I do like Lisa's post on Instagram. She always has these, like, dirty...
Yeah, right? Her sense of humor.
Yeah, sense of humor.
And the pictures she puts up is, like, seductive and, like, funny shit.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, she's dope, dude. On Twitter, we have L.I. Sounds. It's the name of this Twitter person. It's Long Island Sounds. It's a podcast.
Oh, okay.
So it was pretty cool, dude. It's like, thanks for the support, guys. I started following them. They said, about to check out your podcast right now. Any X-Men-related episodes? I got back like, yeah, dude, actually, we reviewed All New X-Men, which you had reviewed, time. I believe. And then he gets back to us a few days after that. He's like, pretty good way to get through this hashtag snow day, if you ask me. Curl up on the couch with your favorite hashtag podcast. And he put out our fucking
thanks,
our link, dude. So that was way cool. And actually, I listened to them, dude. He's only one episode up. His second one should be dropping this week. It's called Long Island Sounds. And the first one was about the Montauk Monster. It's a 20-minute podcast, but it's about a body of a dead animal that was washed up on the Long Island shore.
Oh, wow.
And everyone thinking it was like a mythological fucking animal.
Okay.
And it looked weird because it looked odd and it looked like a dog, but it looked like it had a beak. It was weird, dude. But just 20 minutes of like, these are the stories, accounts, and here are the facts, and people still don't know what the fuck it is.
Sweet.
So they're going to do like monsters. They're going to work on Jaws and the myth behind fucking Jaws.
Sounds like a podcast that I would like,
it's
like
good. A 20-minute long show, dude. Quick kill. Shit I didn't know about. So I thought it was fucking dope. They're worth
check
giving
them
a
out,
shot.
Guys.
Yeah, definitely do that, guys. And then Empire Esquire hit us up. You guys should add print calls to your podcast. How do you feel
we
about
should. We should.
Would you be down to do that?
I'll be down. Just let us know when you call so we can have the phone hooked up.
That would be dope, dude.
So let us know if you want to do that, and then...
Yeah.
We will have the phone hooked up for
you. Yeah, yeah, let's do it, dude. Okay, we have Uncanny underscore comics on Twitter. Hits us up, hashtag Podosphere, my top 5 podcasts, at Critical Thinking, at Nymphcast, at Nerd Sloth, at Comics Syndicate 1, at Ice and the Face. They are great. So that was a cool fucking
we
little shut up. We got third, fourth. We were on the list.
That's fine, dude.
Yeah, dude. But actually, Uncanny Comics, I believe it's the comic book store in Texas.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
it's Miguel's boy.
It's in Houston.
Yes, in Critical Thinking. He's doing the Critical Thinking podcast now.
Yes.
But big shout out to Miguel, dude. We fucking miss him. You guys, another good podcast you guys can find, dude. All these podcasts we're talking about, dude. And then Bearded Underachievers podcast. We just give shout outs and love to Eric. He's running his wrestling podcast still.
Nice.
And it's more about wrestling. So I believe there was an event yesterday, Elimination Chamber. So if anyone who is into wrestling, WWE, he talks about that, dude. So go find them, dude.
So much stuff
out
there.
So many podcasts. Whatever you guys are interested in, there is a podcast for it, guys.
Someone's talking about it.
Yeah, definitely, dude. And then let's give some love to Mind Fudge. They're up and running. They're about, what, 4 or 5 in? Six.
Six or about seven. They did a live one that was pretty cool, too.
I need to check it out, dude.
So, yeah, that's our buddy, Justin.
Yeah, Justin, dude. Definitely find him, guys. And the last one's going to be our Google Chat people. I just want to give him a huge shout-out.
You still talking Google Chat?
You jump. Get. I know you got
it
on your phone.
I know. I got to get back on.
Okay, those guys. We have a Google Chat room, guys. If any of you guys, listeners, want to get added, a bunch of dope people.
Hit us up with your Gmail.
Yeah, and we can add you to the chat room. And I had off, and I hadn't spoken to them in a while, dude. It's just cool that when somebody chimes in, we just start cracking each other up, and it's just fun, you know, to get shit
off.
We do
bust a lot of balls. When I was on, I haven't been on there for like ages.
It was good, dude. But Eric started off the conversation with like, hey, Josias, is it hard to get up on Stitcher? And, you know, just giving him the process. I'm like, dude, here's my number. Give me a buzz anytime or text me, dude. He's like, much appreciated, and gave him the process too. And then Gabe's like, hey, dude, mind if I gave you a text too? Nah, fucking, I love all you guys anyways, man. So it was cool, man, just chatting. And so, yeah, it was good talking to Lisa. Good talking to Gabe. Great talking to Gabe. Fucking Jake's still in there.
Oh, don't we have to get some of these guys on?
We do.
For the fucking...
We do.
Okay.
We will
We have
eventually.
A phone. You guys have a phone?
We can Skype it in now, dude.
We can talk to you guys. All
right, man. That was a lot of fucking shoutouts, dude. That's what we do, man. All right. Next one's going to be... We'll start articles, man. Sad. Atlanta Falcons fans buries team gear as warning for the future. Now, this is going to be the loss of football we talk, unfortunately, for a while. We love the fuck out of football, but I thought this one was interesting, fucked up, and funny at the same time. Let me know
well,
what
I'm
you
still
think.
Looking for that guy that stole my stole my jersey.
Your Brady jersey? Yeah. I thought it was,
he was
you.
He was a little sad. So.
He was, though, right?
He was a little butthurt.
Well, I would be, too, dude. It's the Super Bowl. What's your jersey? So.
Your fifth ring.
But how the fuck do you fucking lose your jersey?
There's so many people fucking
That, but you're a fucking... Well, actually, that's true. You're
I think he lost it in the locker room.
Yes, he was fucking... Yeah, I mean, that's probably know. Much what it is. The article starts off the notion that one day some future generation of human, or alien, in parentheses, will unearth something from our current time and learn a bit about us is pleasing. It makes us feel important, like something worth remembering. However, for one Atlanta Falcons fan, there are definitely things worth forgetting. Super Bowl 51 is one of those things. Let me know what you think about this.
They played good.
They played a great fucking game, dude. That fan was so distraught over the Falcons drubbing at the hands of the New England Patriots that he decided it was time to fold up his Falcons shirt and bury it deep in the ground. With it, he wrote a note addressed to the people of the future.
Jesus.
So,
don't wrote, gas out.
Idiot. I know, right, dude?
Get some cardio.
Pretty much. Yeah, dude. If you have unearthed this, the note warns, you have not found anything vintage or cool. This shirt is bad luck. He then suggests whoever finds the shirt to Google Super Bowl 51 if they need further explanation about why the shirt is bad luck. What? The shirt blew a 25-point lead, the note says. Put it back. Trust me.
Damn.
Now, we're fans. We're huge fucking football fans. And we're fans of players. How do you feel about...
Which jersey? Did they tell you what jersey it was?
It did not say.
It's going to probably be... I'm guessing...
That's the picture. And he put it in a huge Ziploc bag. And that's the fucking actual note.
I'm guessing it's Jones.
I was thinking Julio Jones, right?
Or...
Matt Ryan.
I don't even think Matt Ryan has a jersey out there.
Idiot.
Matt who?
I like Matt Ryan, dude.
Ryan who?
I've been blowing up fucking Matt Ryan all season, dude. I think he's a good...
He's a good quarterback.
But underrated. This season, though, was his breakout season. Man. And he won MVP this year.
Yeah,
and but to and he didn't even choke. It wasn't him that choked.
No, it was defense.
The defense. Oh, bad. So yeah, it could be Jones most likely, dude. So I thought that was interesting. Now again, we're huge fans. Would you fucking do that to your fucking New England Patriots?
If we blew a 25-point lead,
yeah.
Fuck, bro. I don't know, man.
I'm a huge Steelers fan. I would never do that.
I got pissed when we lost to Eli twice. Right?
True that, but I would burn an Eli jersey in that case.
Fuck Eli, dude.
Yeah.
So what'd you do with your Steelers?
No. Okay, look. Ben's my quarterback. He's a goofy fuck. He looks like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. Still great. The best quarterback in the pocket, though.
Yeah.
So, no, I wouldn't, dude. I would never do that, dude. I think fans like these are fucking kind of pussies, and it's like, dude. You're going to fucking bail on your fucking team.
I probably would have told him, hey, you know what? Why don't you look at some of the good things
that
they did. Sorry about these weird sounds, guys.
We're playing footsie under the table, footsies. Guys. All right, man. This is going to go not long, but the first half might because we...
That's fine.
All right, man. We have a special day tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
It's a bullshit day, in my opinion.
Tuesday, it's a playoff game for me.
Ah, nice, dude. All right. We have Valentine's Day fast facts, dude. I got this off of CNN, dude. Here's some background information about Valentine's Day celebrated every February 14th. Facts. Both people in relationships and singles express their love through cards, candies, flowers, and gifts. School children exchange cards and often have classroom parties. I used to like that because I was
a fat
little fucking kid and I would go through the fucking all the fucking cards and find like the best sounding one to a girl.
Or what grade are we talking about there?
Oh, this elementary.
Okay, so remember they had like the theme ones? So you get like the Ninja Turtle one. Oh, okay. And so I would love...
You're like a piece of pizza. I can't wait to eat you.
Or, I don't know about that.
Well, that was me.
We would make our bag into a fucking Valentine's bag and then they just fucking drop shit into your...
Yeah.
They don't do that shit anymore, man. But I love
it. Do they not? I mean, you work at a school now.
No, it's mostly... I don't know. I haven't seen anybody bring in... These types of fucking...
It's cheesy, dude. I went to fucking... where the fuck did I... I went to get my haircut a few weeks ago, and I picked up a... Went to the Dollar Tree and picked up some Valentine's Day cards. And some ring candy hearts.
Okay.
So they're like the ring fingers, but with hearts. And I fucking put them all together last night. I'm just gonna give them out to the fucking girl.
Oh, quarters. Nice.
It's funny you say nobody does that. I just saw... I'm like, fuck it, dude. Let me do something nice for the fucking girls.
You know? Sweet.
Guys
like that shit, too.
Well, I'm gonna give them... Okay, the cards were the Avengers. So, like you said, dude. The cards are Avengers, and I taped just fucking candy to it. So, I'm the guys I'm gonna give just the cards. Like, you're a fucking hero. That's pretty much what it says.
You are a fucking Hulk.
Yeah, yeah.
You're my Hulk.
Pretty much, dude. And then the women are, I don't know what they got, but they're going to get the same thing, but with fucking candy heart fingers.
Sweet.
Lame, cheesy. The ancient Romans held the festival of Lupercalia on February 15th to protect themselves from wolves. Men struck people with strips of animal hide. Women believed that this made them more fertile. It's
Damn,
a fact.
Get hit in the face with a fucking piece of wolf skin.
No shit.
That's.
The early Christian church had at least two saints named Valentine. Didn't know that. One story says that Emperor Claudius II forbade young men to marry because he believed unmarried men made better soldiers. There you go. A priest named Valentine secretly married young couples. So that kind of makes sense, dude. Like they say, when you're training for a sport, not to fuck because it fucks.
Oh, yeah. Well, not the Olympics, I guess that, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what they say.
Well, speaking of that, tomorrow's someone's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, fuck me, yes.
A very large friend of ours.
Very large. Yeah, speaking of, dude, Val, I don't know if you listen, if you do, I know. Happy fucking birthday, homie. Pre-birthday, hopefully you listen to it.
So if you're born on this day, do you have to name your kid Valentine's?
No, but his mom's a sweetheart. You've met his mom, dude, and she's just, a sweetheart. So kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah, dude. So,
it doesn't matter. We got right here.
Oh, dope, dude. I got freaked out. I'm like, this looks lovely over here. Okay, another one says that Valentine was an early Christian who was imprisoned for refusing to worship the Roman gods. His friends tossed notes to him through his cell window.
Oh, okay.
All right. Next one. Many stories say that Valentine was executed on February 14th, about 269 A.D. And now we got Cupid facts. Cupid is a well-known symbol of Valentine's Day. He is armed with a bow and arrows in order to pierce people's hearts. Asshole.
Right.
In Roman mythology, Cupid is the son of Venus, the goddess of love and beauty. In ancient Greece, Cupid was known as Eros, the young son of Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty. So, same type of deal. Timeline, 496 AD, Pope Gelasius I names February 14th as St. Valentine's Day. We've had St. Valentine's Day since fucking AD?
Wow.
Wow, interesting.
Well, they were passing shit to one of the apostles, right?
Oh, I guess that's true.
Life sucks, bro.
You're right.
Prison.
1847, dude, Esther Howland of Worcester, Massachusetts, became one of the first U.S. manufacturers of Valentine's. Okay.
Oh, cha-ching.
Exactly. 1868, the first chocolate box, quote-unquote, is introduced by Richard Cadbury when he decorates a candy box with a painting of his young daughter holding a kitten in her arms. Cadbury also invented the first Valentine's Day candy box. And Cadbury bunnies, right? Is it chocolate?
Chocolate, I think.
And we have 2017. The National Retail Federation estimates that U.S. consumers will spend $18.2 billion for the holiday.
Jesus.
Now, since we gave some facts real quick, now I got to give my opinion. Bunch of bullshit.
I know you hate fucking Valentine's. I hate it too.
Yeah, now.
I was funny because I had a story. I was talking to my boss, the principal, and I go, man, I ain't doing shit for Valentine's Day.
Good. Agreed.
And he's all like, well, how long, what about Margo? And I go, well, I've been with her for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And he's all, yeah, but how long have you been married? And it's like,
idiot.
Right?
Your first Valentine's.
First Valentine's married, so. We'll see. I'm going to be at a game until
that.
6, so I don't think really kidding.
You have no time for romanticism.
No, I'm going to be fucking making little girls cry that day.
Dude, do it. Sorry, give me a Valentine's Day present and make some little girls cry.
Make a fucking shot or I'm going to kill your dog.
All right, man. Now let's hit some sex facts since we got Valentine's Day. Speaking of fucking romanticism, dude.
That should be on a card.
I know, right, dude? I like it, dude. Next one's going to be why some guys are choosing to wear strap-ons during sex. Hear it out first. The guys are choosing to wear.
Okay.
Okay, any ideas? First of all, toss them out.
Maybe they have a hard-on problem or...
Could be a fact. We'll talk about
micro
it.
Micro penis?
Could be. Again, yeah. If you want to incorporate strap-ons into your sex life, then by all means, go for it. It's fun to experiment, but you want the fella to wear the strap-on, ? Now that just seems kind of pointless, doesn't it? Well, on paper, sure, but in reality, some guys have actually managed to find a use in strapping on a dildo and getting sexy while also using their penis. Sure, you're confused, but the reason they do this actually makes perfect sense and can actually be very sexy. Keep reading to find out why some guys are choosing to wear strap-ons during sex. Let me know what you think about these.
Do they put it...
Go for it. Ask, man.
Is a dildo like a special type of dildos where it's like empty inside, so you just your dick goes in, and it's just a hard strap on, or is it like two dicks ready to go?
Now, first of all, one of my friends sent this to me. Okay. Now, It's just a strap-on, so I don't know if you would put it under. I guess depends on how you would want to fuck her. Trip out on this. My first thought was like, why would you send this to me? Like,
right.
Normally the chick that offers, like, I want, and I've had two girls, Piggy Mouth, Cheryl, you're one of them. Oh, that's a huge shout out to fucking Cheryl too. She gave us a huge shout out and put us up on Twitter and Instagram. Anyways, she wants to peg me.
She wants to peg you. What does that mean?
It means her uses strap-on on me.
Okay, she wants.
Now she's from London.
Would you let this happen?
No, fuck no. Now another girl.
Hottest chick you could think of right now.
No.
Hottest chick.
Natalie Portman still, I love.
Like, hey.
Emma Watson love.
You can bang the shit out of me the whole night.
I've barely let a girl toss my salad. That's the most I will go. And I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but
$1 million.
Maybe. but yeah, she's, and then another girl has offered, so two girls in my life and have wanted to peg me. And Cheryl's probably busting around. She's probably serious, dead fuck serious, dude. I'm pretty sure
she's very serious.
And she's hot as fuck, dude.
She probably will tear your ass apart.
As far as, she will fucking destroy me, dude. And then the other girl, I'm like, she's like, how about if you put it on? And then I started thinking like, holy shit, double penetration. So I find it sexy because I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I would wear a strap-on and fuck a girl with my cock and a strap-on. That way I can see the double penetration.
Which one's going where?
That's what I love, dude. That's what I love. Oh, I would you can have fun. You can mix and match. Anytime, whatever night you're feeling.
It just seems it's just going to get weird. Like, it's all of a sudden a midget appears and then it's a fucking party with Joe. I don't know, dude. I think if you introduce these kinds of things,
yeah,
it might be a little.
Well, okay. How do you turn? Okay. Well, let's hit these real quickly. Number one, the second penis. Physically speaking, having two penises might seem frightening and jump in any time to some men. But in theory, having twice the dick would be empowering. In fact, there are some guys who have actually gone so far as to incorporate a strap-on in the bedroom to pretty much make it seem as though they actually do have two dicks. So, psychologically, for me, that would not be the case. But some guys, I get that. Number two, why choose two? So where is the actual benefit in using a strap-on if you're a guy?
Well, it's like a girl. Two is better than one.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. DP, double penetration. Fill all the hose. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. The answer is quite simple. It's obviously not benefiting the guy. There you go.
Right.
Seeing as he can feel what the strap-on feels, so we can't feel that, actually, is what it says. It's for the woman. This way he can enter through both holes, offering both vaginal and anal stimulation. So there you go. Right? DP. Three, dual penetration. I first had the idea when I saw a porno that had this guy using a strap-on, but he was pretty much ignoring his own dick, which I wouldn't do. I mean, how the fuck can you ignore your own cock? Which I thought was stupid, exactly. Just a waste. So I thought about it if it would work using one with my cock. And once my girl was down, I realized it did work. This came from Marcus 28. Number four, self-made. Go ahead, questions.
I'm thinking of Jimmy and his cock rings coming over there.
Kai, there you go, right? And you know what? Imagine if you do that too. Put on that vibrating fucking
penis
ring.
Seems like a lot of armor.
But it sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay, okay. Anyway.
Number four, self-made. I don't know how other guys do it because the ones I found all kind of block where the dick's supposed to come out. But my wife and I pretty much just made our own, okay? I'm not going to go into detail how we figured it out, but we both are pretty skilled at putting things together. So we used common sense and made it happen. Eric 29. Number five, 241. I whip it out under special occasion, but when we do, it's something intense. My girl can't take quite a lot, and when I go in with both, she just loses it. I promise you, there's nothing sexier than getting at her from both holes. So, that's why I do it, for the reaction. Exactly, that's what I want to experience. Go.
What would you do?
Go.
If she ignores your cock and goes straight for the dildo, how would you feel? How would you feel, like,
a little bummed out,
like kind of like slaps it out of the way and
I don't
like
want that.
And starts stroking the fucking the blue, the navy blues.
I know, the bright pink fucking dildo. I would, you know what? Don't tease me, baby.
Hey,
I like it when you fucking tease me like that.
Junior,
baby,
needs something.
I know, right? He's a little Josiah.
Do you
want to
get
action.
like
jealous? No, I've used fucking vibrators on girls before.
Yeah, but you have two dicks right now.
True.
She slaps your dick out of the window. I want that dick.
That would suck. stop joking
and
about
then, and then do you have the same size
that, that, that like that would go like shake.
Is the dildo the same size as your cock?
Oh, or, no, it would have it to be bigger. It would have to be the same size. And I have a tiny penis, so both 2 inches.
So you can't have, you know, Jerome
dildo. Jerome, no, we're not gonna pick up the Jerome dildo. No, dude. Number 6, we have Superman. I mean, I do it for me. I think I do it because I feel like Superman. I feel like a badass coming after her like that. Thank you. The real thing and the fake thing. Just giving it to her like a champion. It's erotic as fuck. And I swear to God, she's never had more intense orgasm from Bradley24.
Wow. Oh, well, these are like people that...
Actual people who have done this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number 8, and I'll jump to 10 because I don't know what time we're at.
We're almost at 30.
Oh, so we're backing up.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, so we're good, dude. Okay. Number 8, pushing limits. I just like to push limits with my wife. We're both very sexual and experimental, and we like to see how far we can go without boring on anything that's too strange or creepy. Like, I've never dressed up as the rubber man from American Horror Story, and I doubt I ever will. But double penetration? Yes, says Patrick, 34.
That rubber guy is pretty fucking disgusting in that show.
That was number 7. I'm sorry. Number 8 is going to be trying things out. When we first met, our relationship revolved a lot around trying new things. We made a little pact with each other not to get boring just because we're getting older. And that's never ended up being the case. The strap-on makes us feel like we're in our own path, on our own. Or we're both on our own porn, my bad, says Patrick. Number 9, turning it around. Now, this is where it gets...
You said turn it around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go for it.
Number 9, do you want to hear it or should we skip it? Number 9, I would not do. You asked me already. We spoke about it already. So no. Number 10, giving it. The fact that I can just fucking give it to her the way I do with a strap on is so fucking worth it. If you haven't tried it, then you don't know. It just brings it to a whole new level. It makes a good fuck into something insane. You've never seen your girl react like this, I promise you. Ben 26. I'm down with that. Number 11, positions. We try it with different positions. Using a strap-on gives you a lot of opportunities, but you are also kind of forced to get creative. I thought you could only use it in doggy, but if you're in shape enough and creative enough, you can figure something out.
Unchecked.
You're out on that?
Out on that one.
All right, number 12, why not? If people see this as something that's hardcore or something, I say why. You're literally just being creative in the bedroom, exactly just like using any sort of toy anyways. That's what every partner wants, so we're just satisfying each other in ways that aren't things that everyone else is doing. Gary35. We got 3 more and we'll kill it, dude. Number 13, placements. I switch it up with the strap on. We like to get weird. I'll put my head and go in like a dinosaur, just headbutting into her pussy to get her off. It's funny, but then you can tell she loves it. Haven't made her come from doing that yet, but I'm getting there, says Rob26.
Just fucking.
I like the way all these guys, how creative they are.
Headbutt.
Minus the guy who likes receiving. Number 14, bored. I get bored easily. So when I have a girl over, I bring it up that I've got one, and if she's down, we do it. That's kind of hard to bring up, though.
So, you're done sucking that.
Would you like to suck? No, see?
I got Blue Thunder ready for you.
How do you bring it up, though, right? I mean, how do you do it?
I don't know.
Do you like cock? Because I have a dildo.
Out of the bed like you're like, oops.
I know.
What is this?
I'm cleaning up. How did this get there? Yeah. Suddenly not born anymore. I promise no other guys, the women I've been with are giving them what I'm giving them. I promise you that. Don't know, Tyler. You're kind of weird, homie. Number 15, the sexual edge. Last one. If you want to elaborate on your sex life, you don't always have to go the traditional route. Because where's the fun in that? Break out the strap-on. Give it a whirl. As long as you have at least a basic idea of what you're doing, you'll be absolutely fine. Scary. Now, would you try it on after that?
I don't know, man.
If you're... Any of your ladies in your life, I've asked you.
The one lady in my life.
I know you've had a blubber. I've seen your fucking stadium. Well, not anymore.
I don't know.
Is that loud, blow? Anyways.
Yeah, if a girl
told me, I bought a strap-on for you. Nope. She said, no, you're going to use it on me. Fuck yeah.
Less work?
I want to fucking see the double penetration. Like, you've seen porn with two guys destroying a woman.
Yeah.
This way, I don't, especially if I dig the chick, like, I mean, I wouldn't, I would do a threesome with fucking two girls, but I would never do a threesome with fucking two dudes.
Two dudes.
Unless, you know, I mean, you're retired, so there goes that. I'm just kidding.
Well, isn't it tougher if you're going in behind and then going in the front? So you're using the same. What you're doing in the front, you're doing it in the back. Mm. The same pounding.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know, again, so I would rather, again, have two chicks, but goes back to me. If it's used on me, no. If she's asking, do it to me, give it to me. Oh, fuck, yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Maybe I'll try that out.
Dope, dude. I'll ask her. All right, cool, man. All right, that's all we got. For now, we're going to hit some commercials real quick.
Go to our website, thecomicsyndicate.com. You'll find two banners, one orange, one black. The orange one is for Amazon. If you're buying anything and you want to help us out, whatever you buy, we get a little piece. Doesn't cost you any other money or anything like that.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for the people that have helped us. And if you're buying stuff on Amazon, who doesn't have Amazon Prime? You get free books. You get free videos. Free two-day shipping. And some days, one fucking day shipping. Yeah. How good is that? If you do it early in the morning, you get it in the afternoon sometimes.
There you guys go. Go to thecomicsyndicate.com for that. Go to thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher. Go to Google Play. Anywhere where you subscribe to your podcast, type in The Comic Syndicate. Subscribe to us. You guys don't have to download it, but fuck it. Download it. Share the podcast more than anything. You guys can actually fuck it. We'll be right back
with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to The Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to The Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to The Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, we're back.
Comic talk.
And we got some comic news, comic talk, comic reviews. Yeah, man.
First one's going to be Paramount Kills Friday the 13th reboot.
That's fine with me.
I'm kind of down with the reboot of fucking Friday the 13th. Oh. Depends on how they do it. I'm a big fan of those old 80s fucking scary movies, though.
They did the Friday versus Jazz.
Yeah, that one sucks.
That chick was hot, though. That's all I remember.
Okay, there you go. Next one's going to be War for Planet of the Apes director has offer in hand for the Batman movie. Since Ben Affleck is out now, I like the new War for the Planet of the Apes movie.
It seems kind of boring. I don't know. They're good movies, though? I haven't seen any of them.
Definitely check those out, dude. Supergirl promo teases debut of Lex Luthor's iconic war suit. I don't watch TV.
The green one?
Yeah. It's the green and purple. Oh, do you watch it at all?
No.
I hear it's good.
I heard it's really good.
Okay. Next one's going to be Lego Batman movie dominates 50 Shades Darker.
Good.
That's what we've wanted fucking this weekend. Good. I was hoping it would beat it. My second job is working in a theater. It seemed like the crowd was there. A batch of fucking crazy, horny fucking broads. Oh, there for every person I asked. We're here for 50 Shades. Day. Yeah. Yeah. And very few. Second place would be Ty, Batman, and John Wick, which I want to catch those two movies.
I just saw John Wick number one.
Did commercials? No commercials.
No commercials.
What'd you think?
Oh, from like TV? No, I downloaded it.
Okay, good. What'd you think?
I thought it was, it's good for what it is. It's not a fucking touchy story. It's not a...
I loved the fuck out of it.
It's a good action killing...
I like why he kills.
Right.
Not ruining
it. When he's sitting there, he goes, that was my only way of something.
Yeah,
something.
Dude. I liked it a lot.
It was, if you want to see action and really cool, I mean, this is his type of movie where he doesn't have to talk very much.
Yeah, just kill.
And just the way he kills people is shot in the face.
Yeah, like headshots. Yeah, all the time. Which is nice. Now, part one was great enough that I want to watch part two.
I do want to see part two. I probably will see that with you.
Okay, we'll plan that, dude. Yeah, for sure. Next one's going to be NBC Order Redliners pilot co-written by Kelly Sue DeConnick. Kelly Sue DeConnick is pretty deadly.
Whatever happened to her?
She's doing more TV stuff with her husband, Matt Fraction. They're trying to get like TV deals and stuff. Their own company, I believe.
Okay.
Next one's going to be X-Men Supernova. Sophie Turner confirms return as Jean Grey. The next X-Men movie is going to be... Supernova, and it's going to be a retelling. I know it sounds cheesy, but of the Phoenix Saga.
And it's going to be the chick from Game of Thrones.
I believe so. The last chick.
The last
Which movie. She did great, I think.
She's hot, too.
Yeah. Next one's going to be Iron Fist trailer came out.
Yes. Okay. I did see that.
I love Danny Rand. It doesn't look great, but I saw Daredevil season 1 and 2.
I saw some of the fighting scenes. I would have thought they would have been more superheroic.
It looks like
a normal like Daredevil fighting. And Iron Fist is supposed to have some kind of
mystical
powers, yeah. And he has a sidekick, the chick.
Yeah,
they seem.
But you know what? It's Netflix and it's Marvel doing it, so I trust it.
Okay.
So let's see where it goes. Next one's gonna be that. Live action Blade of the Immortal trailer came out, and that one dropped as well. A trailer. It's a story about Manji who gets cursed with these bloodworms, and they heal him every time he gets an arm chopped off. Severed.
That comic book.
Yes.
Yes.
It looks good, that trailer, dude.
Your brother actually got me onto that.
Yeah, dude. Moses, that. Dude. Big ups to him. And that is... Oh, actually, today, Scalped TV pilot lands Beverly Hills Cop 4 directors. And Jeff Johns is going to co-produce that. Scalped is a comic book, I believe an Image title,
yeah,
from Jason Aaron, right?
It's Vertigo.
Vertigo.
I believe it's Vertigo. It's it's about Indian reservations. It's pretty bloody.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
All right, man. That's all I got, dude. You're ready to hit some comic fucking reviews.
I am.
All right, man. First one I'm going to hit is going to be Titans number 5, dude. I was on a tangent reading fucking Titans. The first arc was pretty much the team getting back together. Wally West, which is a Flash everyone knows and loves, finally makes it back to our new 52 world. Now, this is part of the rebirth storyline, how he got back, and the gaps that are missing. The first villain they face in this is a guy... forget what he's called.
The magician guy.
The magician, right? Dude. Yeah. Now it's really cool because the magician makes some clones of the Titans. So clone of fucking Red Arrow, fucking Wonder Girl, fucking Nightwing, and the Flash, everyone. And he sets them together so each of them are able to take out their counterparts. But he sends the right team to attack the right teams or a single. They take out each member of the team.
Cancel each other out.
And the Titans can't fight them off, and the last one standing happens to be fucking the Flash. And the magician ends up telling him fucking something fucked up. He's like, well, you have 7 seconds. The woman you love is going to die. She's hanging. Fuck. You have Nightwings, who is about to die here. You have 5 of your friends all across the United States.
Uh-huh.
7 seconds you have to fucking
save.
Let's see
them.
How fast you are. And it's just really cool. I love the camaraderie of the Titans, dude. And Wally West seeing him again and pushing faster than he's gone before, where it's just really cool because we see Wally West, like, even his inner monologue saying, like, these are my friends. I love them. I fucked up one time before. I'm not going to fuck up again. I need to save these people. So it's really cool, that aspect. And again, I always love the camaraderie. So he is able to save all his friends, but as he does it, he's running so fast, flat fast, that he breaks the speed force.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up, the speed force, when you get in it, it's pretty much like death. It's kind of like a limbo.
That's how he got stuck in it?
Yeah, he finally broke it. Like, he's... This is as fast as he's ran before. Mm. And we know Flashpoint. Like, when he runs fast, bad things fucking happen. And that's even what they say in the fucking story. So now he ends up, that's in issue number 5. And issue number 6, he ends up in this speed force where the girl he loves, he's stuck there with him, or he's there. But in this limbo world, he's happy living a life with her. And she looks at him and tells him, like, you know you can't be here.
Mm.
It's like, your friends need you. No, but I'm finally happier.
I brought this dildo for you.
I know, right? Does this belong to you? How about this one? So very cool how even, like, in this Speed Force world, like, in the world now, she doesn't know who he is. She doesn't know who Wally was.
Yeah, in the new world.
And she thinks he's a fucking weirdo for the most part.
Well, he's fucking like a stalker, bro.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's really cool to see, like, even her tell him, like, you know, you have to leave. And he's like, so what if I get lost again? It's just really cool how she says, you know, you can't stay. Are you crazy? This is the only place where I want to be. She's like, right, you're going to stop running and settle down. I hear that too. Where he gets some really good advice, you know, from her. And he just, she tells him, you have to go. I'm not real. Your friends are real. And he gives up this so-called happy life so he can save his friends. So he pushes the speed force again to the point where he's able to come back out and help his friends.
Nice.
So very cool. Again, camaraderie stories like that I fucking love. So Wally West. So that was Titans 5 and 6 and 7. I read too. It was cool that he was able to take out the magician. And it's also going to lead into the DC Rebirth, Watchmen, how they, the missing gap, I guess, in between the worlds. I don't know. But yeah, I guess it's still going on. Rebirth started a year ago. Right. We've gotten no answers. I mean,
right?
Yeah, go for it, man.
I read Justice League versus Suicide Squad 1-6. I'm going to do 1-3 and then maybe next.
Jim Lee did the art on that?
No, there was different artists in each book. And maybe next week I'll do the last three.
Okay, so yeah.
1-3. So we're in Death Valley and we have this villain breaking into a very secure prison. And he seems to be able to control the guards and to kill themselves. Suggestions saying, you know what? It'll be cool if you guys fucking shoot each other in the face.
Okay.
Boom, boom, boom. They shoot each other. And then he releases some major bad guys in this compound.
Okay.
We don't know who they are until later on in the issues. Suicide Squad are on a mission to stop some kind of earthquake device, and they aren't holding any punches. You know, we see Deathshots taking headshots on the main bad guy, just straight up right through the head from far away. So lots of blood in this.
They're more like anti-heroes.
Yeah, right? So they're not here to fuck around.
Yeah.
However, before this can happen, a building is about to fall from the earthquake device. And it's about to crush locals before it can happen. The Justice League came and took care of it.
Okay.
And they aren't happy with these new team of bad guys put together. Batman isn't happy. And Suicide Squad do not want to have to fight the Justice League. But Amanda is like on an intercom with Deathshot and has this kill switch in their brain. If they don't fucking listen, boom. And so she pretty much commands them that you cannot be taken by the Justice League. You need to do whatever you fucking need to do. And if you are taken, you're dead.
Okay.
So,
So don't fuck up the job.
You have to get away from them.
Okay.
You know? So they prepare for fight, but, back to the guy that took those bad guys from the prison, we find out that the guy's name is Maxwell. And his powers, he can suggest things to other people. Okay. He took out some bad guys, some high-ranking dudes. We got Dr. Polis, Johnny Sorrow, Empress, and...
Rustan
and Lobo.
Rustan. Okay, yeah. So that's right.
So they got these group of dudes that are pretty fucking bad news.
Yeah.
We go back, I think that's issue 1, issue 2 now. We go, the fight is in these panels are pretty great between the Justice League and the Suicide.
Very cool.
It looks like Suicide is...
Are they evenly... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they're pretty evenly in the beginning. They're holding their own. Good. But as the fight goes on longer, the Justice League are just too much for them. And Amanda is about to push the button at the end. However, Killer Frost absorbs a knocked out Superman. And he uses his power to... It's so strong that she freezes everybody in place.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
So that's pretty much how that battle ends.
Okay.
Amanda has taken every member of the Justice League and placed them into a holding cell, which counteracts each of their powers. Batman gets free. Like, it's pretty funny because they're carrying Batman in, like, a fucking... What's his name? The guy that eats people. Nectar. I eat your bones with fucking can of beans. He's not a comic guy. He's
on the movie?
There's a movie like that. What's his name?
I don't know. Blade?
No, it's The Silence of the Lambs.
Idiot. Yeah, Hannibal Lecter.
So they have Batman in like...
Oh, so he can't do anything.
They can't do anything. And he's like, you know... He says it out loud. He's like, you know, this isn't going to hold me. And then one of the guards is like, shut the fuck up. Yes, it will. And he goes, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Amanda. And he breaks out. And
awesome. Well, that's Batman.
That's Batman. Nice, so, So he gets out and he makes a deal with her because he says, you know what? You did all this. What's going on? Like, how much trouble are you in? Because you've risked taking the Justice League. So what's up? So we go back to Maxwell before that is in search of something. And as he sends his group to kill everyone on this island, the Lobo and everybody, he asks the leader to give him what he needs. And Max is hoping to control some ultimate being type thing so that he can control the entire world.
Okay.
Amanda frees the Justice League after making a deal with Batman. And they are in charge of protecting her because of what Maxwell wants is her.
Okay.
And the weapon that he's looking for, or the item, is actually buried in her fucking in her tower or whatever.
Her base.
Okay. And she tells them that the team that there will be more than enough to break into this base. So pretty much, get ready. You guys are gonna have to fucking fight together to take down these guys.
Okay.
And she lets out that she knows that these guys are such a bad team because they were actually her first Suicide Squad.
Ah, there you go.
So it was that's 1 through 3. It's a pretty good story.
Right on, man.
It's already done with their arc, the 1 through 6.
That's right. I forgot it. Which is going to set up the new Justice League of America team coming up soon. And Lobo, everyone you mentioned is going to be on that team led by Batman.
I think so.
Okay, very cool, man. I didn't get to read those, dude. That sounds pretty interesting, though, dude. Next one I'm going to hit is going to be Unworthy Thor number 4. Jason Aaron and all actually is the writer. Oliver Coppola with Jim Jacinto does the present Thor pages. Frazier Irving does the young Thor pages. Assad Ribic does the worthy Thor pages. Russell Dodderman does the unworthy Thor panels. And it's just really good, dude. I'm digging it, dude. It starts off with a very young Thor. Now, each time we see a young Thor, you get to see a different art style, which I really liked this title for that. It starts off with a very young Thor trying to lift Mjolnir as he feels it's calling to him. So as a young kid, he's like trying to pick up this hammer and it's like fucking Excalibur. He can't fucking move it. So very cool. He thinks it's his destiny to wield it someday. And his mother, Freyja, tells him that it doesn't matter how many feats or obstacles he's able to succeed at, that the power of the hammer comes from his heart. So trying to give him this lesson at an early age. Then it jumps to current day Thor, where we get another artist, which is pretty cool. And then believe that's Russell Donovan, where he's fighting not just for his life, but to be worthy again. He's now locked up with Beta Ray Bill. They're trying to fight out of this fucking prison. But at the collector's place. Mm-hmm. So he's got a giant ship. So it was pretty cool, dude. That happens to be against an army of the collector, who currently happens to be fighting Thanos' crew, the Black Order, at the moment. Now, the Black Order, again, is Black Swan, Proxima Midnight. They heard there was a hammer, and somebody came up to Thanos telling him, dude, there's the hammer that
we can possibly get.
So now they're trying to get the hammer, but none of them are able to pick it up either, dude. So that's why they're fighting the collector's team as well as the Thors are trying to escape the prison to get out. And prior issues was pretty much Thor knows of this hammer, and he wants its power, but this is where it goes from there, dude. It's really cool because there's a cloaked man, and again, it's Gore, the God Butcher. Which got me hooked on that, dude. That guy's a badass, dude. So it's pretty cool. Once Odin's son finally gets there, they start scrapping, dude. And then it jumps back to a time he spent, and again, new artist, or different artist, when it flashes back to a time when he was with his girlfriend at the time, Jane Foster. And he's just, like, staring at the hammer. But this page is beautiful, dude. He's just staring at the hammer, and she finally asks, why would you ever be afraid of your own hammer? And he's like, worthiness is not an absolute condition. It is something for which even a god must never stop striving for. I fear this hammer because every morning I wake, I never know if I will be able to lift it again. So he's always had that in him, which is kind of cool to see. Now, Jason Aaron, the way he's been writing Thor for the longest time.
It's so good.
Yeah. It jumps back into the battle now where he finds himself holding this new hammer. Now, it's really cool, dude, because as he's fighting to get to this hammer, like, he's kicked the collector's ass, and the collector fucking wraps him up with, like, metal fucking chains. He's able to finally get to the fucking hammer. As he's, like, struggling, fighting to get to the fucking hammer, he's like, I hear the hammer screaming. But what it's saying is, where is my Thor? Now, the owner of this one is a Thor, but it's the ultimate Thor that died.
Mm.
Secret Wars?
Yeah, well, they all collapse, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's why this hammer is here. No one's able to pick it up, but he is worthy enough to finally pick it up.
Fucking Marvel, always fighting a loophole.
Yeah, but it's cool because it's not a hammer of our 616.
It's the other hammer.
Technically,
so he's worthy in that the universe, but not this universe.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So it's going to be interesting because technically now he's Thor again.
Nice.
So it's really cool that even the way Jason Aaron has been writing the hammer, Mjolnir, like you're getting a sense of Mjolnir, the hammer, being a character too.
Okay, so it's like you said, it's talking.
Yeah, and you can get the emotion.
Does he understand when it's talking?
Okay, the way Jason Aaron's been writing Mjolnir, when Jane Foster has it, it's like she even says, "I can feel the hammer talking to me, and everything the hammer says is fucking."
So like, kind of like Venom,
like a friend, yeah, like a symbiote kind of deal, yeah, which is weird, but kind of cool too, because I don't think we've seen that before from Thor.
Dude. That's cool.
So I really liked it a lot, dude. See, he was finally able to pick it up, dude, and just really great to see it, dude. And we see Gore the God Butcher, like, oh, this motherfucker got the hammer. But now we have Thanos in the mixture too.
Yeah, he's hiding.
So it's gonna be interesting, dude, to see. I loved it a lot, dude. It was really good. The artists were great, dude. Again, the old Thor, the young Thor, the younger Thor, a bunch of artists. It sounded hopefully not convoluted, but that's pretty much the story. I loved it, dude.
Nice.
Last one I'm gonna hit. Do you have any more?
That's it for me.
Last one I'm gonna hit is gonna be Silver Surfer Requiem number 4. It's just a 4-issue title, guys. Requiem number 4. Michael J. Straczynski, the writer of 10 Grand that I love, is a writer. Assad Ribic, who I fucking love, it is the artist. It came out in 2008. Second page just looks bad as he's finally rushing home. But you can see the toll his body has taken from the sort of cancer he's had. And that's pretty much what this whole title is, Requiem. So he's finally able to get home, but it seems like he kind of blacked out as he was making his way there. So when he wakes up, he blacked out, only to wake up in a bed with his wife or girlfriend sitting next to him, consoling him. He gets some more bad news when, you know, even his people of his own home world and their technology can't help him. It's like, there's nothing we can do. Like, and it just gets more emotional because she wants to give, he gave his girlfriend cosmic powers. And that's what you do to your lady, I guess, dude. Besides DP, double penetration. And it's cool because she's like, I want to give you back your powers. Hopefully it'll save you. Even the doctor says, no, if you give him back the power, you'll probably die because of it. Mm-hmm. You've had it for so long. And it's really cool because even though she says that, he's like, listen to me. Though it was part of my decision, if you believe I came all this way just to die, then you do not understand. I came also to know that you live, to see you alive, so that I may carry that vision across with me when the darkness comes. He tells her that. And it's pretty cool because he's literally on his fucking deathbed now. And everyone of the planet, he gave up his, granted he is an alien, he's from another world, just kind of looking like regular fucking people on this world home planet, but he made a deal with Galactus, don't destroy my world, I will find weaker planets for you. And that's how he became Galactus's herald, which was fucking nice to see. And as he's on his deathbed, everyone on this world knows, like, fuck, homeboy gave up his own self to fucking save us. Fucking cool, because everyone's like, every time they touch him, they call it the Mark of Norn. So everyone, like, it's not cancer, but, like, every time now that someone flips out or fucking gets angry or fucking just upset, this mark fucking kind of glows on them. And it's a reminder, like, shit, like, homeboy was always peaceful, like. And it's really cool how that, even though he's going to die perhaps, that people are still remembering him. And they kind of keep themselves in check off of it. Nice. Like, if homeboy was striving so hard, why can't I strive to be nice. Better too? So really cool, dude. So now, as this goes down, if things weren't bad enough already, he's racked up. Dude, one of his biggest fears comes to light as Galactus now fucking comes to this planet and summons him straight up. And it's like, Surfer, to me. He's like, fuck, get me out of bed. And the people would literally have to carry fucking Norn, right? And even Assad's Ribic art in this one is more refined. You can see that his art now, like this one, issue number 4, totally capped off, like, fuck, Assad Ribic is a fucking beast. Because the way he draws fucking the cancer on fucking Norn, right? He has him half metallic, half human, and just with cancer, black cancer spot. It looks dope, sad, everything. It was great, dude. And it's really cool because, you know, now he's fucking sad. He's, like, dying. He's like, fuck, I can't protect my world anymore.
Galactus. And he's here.
Galactus is fucking on our doorsteps. And he gets summoned, dude. And it's really cool, dude. So even though, okay, he gets there, dude. Even though things look really bad, dude, we get some really great dialogue between both of these characters. With having destroyed worlds, you know, without any hesitation or emotion from Galactus, like, that's what he does. He's a planet eater. He now shows a little grief and tells Norn, Rad, he's like, I don't know that I can save you, but I can try. So it's really cool because even though Silver Surfer sees it in his eye, like, fuck, homeboy might miss that I'm fucking, that I'm dying. Like, mm-hmm. he might be a little sad. So it was really cool. So that's some emotional point. That's really good. And it's cool. And Norrin Rad is like, no, don't save me. And he says, really cool, dude. He says, no, to things there is a time. This is mine, but I would ask a favor. And then Galactus says, I know your mind and be at ease. I will never harm Zenla, which is his home, or allow it to be harmed by others. I would never allow anyone to harm the world that has or was the heart and soul of the most honorable being I have ever known. Let go of the burden of the flesh, Norrin, and be at peace. So even Galactus, he's like, you did things for a fucking reason. And that is Galactus' herald. And even though they were always at war or didn't like each other, like, he's got that respect for something he made. I mean, Galactus did create Silver Surfer. So it was really cool, dude. And just that alone, I'm not going to spoil anything from there, guys. It was just very dope to see this and Galactus even staying once they say, like, okay, well, it's time to fucking close shop. And for the Galactus and for the people of Zenla, it would be the first time they had looked to one another without the barrier of fear between them, joined in their shared loss. For the first time, Galactus, devourer of the worlds, had a world where he would be forever welcome. So they kind of had that respect, like, even the people that's like, they were afraid of Galactus destroying their world again. And it's like, they're grieving, even Galactus is grieving. It's that respect, like, no. And even Galactus even told him, I will save your fucking planet. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. The respect level. And this title is great, dude. It's worth reading. It's a 4-issue arc. Go to thecomicsyndicate.com, buy the trade paperback. It is expensive, but it is fucking worth it, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. So that was Book of the Week. Unworthy Thor was fucking dope, too, dude. So that's all I got, man.
Cool, man.
All right, you guys can find my boy, Adam.
You can find me at Mem the Beaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter. You guys find me on both of us at Comic Syndicate 1 on Twitter. You guys find me at Comic _ Syndicate on Instagram. Right. Fuck, I always forget where the fuck I'm at, dude. You guys cannot find us on Facebook.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck both of those guys. The only thing I post is like, well, I just reposted fucking what Adam posted. Asshole. Like, all right, guys. You guys can catch us next week. Share the podcast, guys. Peace out.